just a moment, but as we think about the Apostle Paul, you know, when we think about dying and going out to meet the Lord, sometimes there's a note of fear if we're not really prepared, or maybe if we haven't lived our life to the maximum, pleasing the Lord and bearing fruit for Him. But Paul lived so close to the Lord. Paul walked with God to the point that he could actually say, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ Jesus, which is far better. Isn't that amazing? You know, every one of us can live that close to the Lord tonight, to where we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the judgment that comes after death. We are going to have to give an account, every thought, every word, every deed. Now, I mean, the Bible teaches that. But if we could just live like the Apostle Paul lived, to where we could have this desire to go, but the only reason we desire to stay is for the benefit of those that God has given us a ministry to. To remain in the flesh, he said, is needful for you. But I have a desire to depart and be with Christ Jesus. The last letter he wrote, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen? Oh, I hope we can say that when we come down to death's door. All right, Hebrews 9:27 simply says, as it appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I want us to think about that for just a few moments tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and thank you so much for loving us and helping us along life's journey. We know, Lord, that we owe our lives to you. The very next breath we breathe, the very next beat of our heart, we owe to thee. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we might magnify your name and praise your name and be a blessing to your kingdom and in response to your love and your gracious mercy to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Physical life is a possession that we all try to hold on to, isn't it? And yet we know that sooner or later, every one of us is going to die. Death hangs over our heads from the cradle to the grave. The Bible teaches that death is no respecter of persons. Death enters the home of the rich as boldly as it enters the humble apartment of the ghetto. It brings down the final curtain on the famous as swiftly as it does on the unknown. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Our appointment with death and judgment is as certain as the sunrise or the sunset. Before this year ends, many of us will have kept our appointments with death this year. The scripture tells us a great deal about death. One thing certain, we can't bargain with it. When Queen Elizabeth I lay dying, she whispered, all my possessions for a moment of time. But she could not strike a bargain with death. I have learned that you can tell how a person values life by his estimate of death. What a person believes about death shows what he believes about life. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to talk with many people who were facing the possibility of death. Sometimes people living healthy lives and never giving a serious thought about death are taken. One day they have a pain. They go see a doctor who runs a battery of tests. And I remember one day a man was told that he had cancer. And he said, immediately my entire world changed. The things I had valued most became worthless. And the things I considered of little value are now the most important things in the world to me. Every week I'm visiting people in the hospitals. Quite often I hear of those who have gotten the report from the doctors. Well, it's stage 3 cancer or it's stage 4. I remember my wife's brother, Thomas. Back in January, he got the word that his was stage 4. Had about 6 months to live with no treatment and possibly 2 years with treatment. Well, he had the treatment, and I think it was 8 months he lived. But immediately after people get the word, they begin making plans. Final arrangements, we call them. This past week, my wife was called to be a witness, and witnessing a will, witnessing the forms for power of attorney, and trying to make everything legal, and the final disposition of things, and the final carrying out of a person's will. Death is coming. As I look at you tonight, as I speak to you as well as myself, we all need to be prepared. We all need to make those final arrangements now because we don't know. Brother Duane, if he did not have his final arrangements made last night around midnight, it's too late today. Make your final arrangements. But there are at least 3 philosophies about death that people generally hold today. The first is this. Well, when I'm dead, I'm dead, and I'll take my chances with the hereafter. I know a lot of people who have that attitude. Those who hold that kind of philosophy see the drama of life to be without plot or purpose or meaning. They see life just as a meaningless puzzle or maze in which they wander aimlessly throughout their lifespan and never once catch a glimpse of a higher destiny. It's just work and make money and save all you can, or you only go around once, and so just make it as pleasurable as you can. Jesus told of a man who thought the earthly existence was the chief end of man. This man did not believe in life after death, nor did he have faith in God. He toiled and prospered and became famous, rich. The only heaven that he thought about was his earthly security, and he attained that. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You'll find the story in Luke 12. The man had thought, I'll take my chance. He gambled, and he lost. How different that is from the triumphant statement of the Apostle Paul, who said, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Some people have all their treasures here and none over there. The writers of the Bible were looking forward to death with great anticipation. They knew that this life is only the dressing room for eternity. The Bible teaches that this life is short and that we can never know when the moment of death will come. And therefore, we should be prepared at all times to meet death face to face. In the second philosophy about death, a person says, I believe in life after death, but I'm not concerned about crossing that bridge until I get to it. I have plenty of time, Pastor. This philosophy was expressed in a newspaper column some time ago, and the writer said, I have come to believe in life after death, but I'm not going to worry about it until I face it. How strange that people would spend 20 or 30 or 40 years preparing for life's vocation and security at life's end and not take so much as 5 minutes to prepare to meet God. Isn't that amazing? The Bible urges us to prepare to meet God. Amos 4:12. And what a mistake it is to be so taken up with building a life here that we forget about the life there. C.S. Lewis once warned that when we become so preoccupied with this life that we lose the value of eternity, then we lose this life as well. Some years ago, a rich man died and his servant was asked, did your master go to heaven? No, sir, came the reply. My master always made careful preparations when he was going someplace, and I didn't notice him getting ready to go anywhere. No, sir, I don't think he went to heaven. Isn't that an amazing statement? Because people around you know if you're getting ready to go to heaven. People around you know if you're making preparation to leave this world and live with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They can see that. The very fact that you're sitting in church and you're here every time the doors are open and you rejoice in the singing of the hymns of Zion that we've sung here tonight. And you can sing about Beulah land. The land that's fairer than day. We can sing and weep when we think about the old rugged cross. We embrace that cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. Nothing in life is more important than your appointment with destiny and your date with death. Are you certain you're prepared tonight? Already this year, thousands of people have died. In Paris this week, terrorist attacks. Last account, over 100 dead and many wounded. Wondering when it's going to come to American soil again. The bodies are filling up the morgues. And the hospital beds are being filled. I can't help wondering how many of these that died this week were prepared to meet God. So many say, well, I believe in God and I'm going to prepare to meet God, but not just right now. I'll make the final preparations when I get down to it. And then there's the third philosophy. The person who says, I stand with Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life, and I will rest in his care. It's like the psalmist David wrote, and we repeat so many times, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not everybody can say that when they walk through that valley of the shadow of death, that they fear no evil. But here is the trumpet of hope that has echoed down through the Christian cemeteries of the world. It has made the experience of death not a bitter end, but a bright dawning for every Christian. Jesus Christ, who himself went down into the grave and came forth with the keys of hell and of death in his hands, that first Easter said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, Victor Hugo in his old age said, when I go down to the grave, I can say I have finished my day's work. But I cannot say I have finished my life's work. The tomb is not a blind alley. It's an open thoroughfare. The tomb, which closes on the dead, opens the firmament, and that what on earth we call the end is really the commencement. Death is the portal to life. You know, I don't know why they call it. You know, when you go to graduate, they have what they call commencement exercises. And you know, you go through the form and the ritual and the marching and all of that. And it's called commencement exercises in school. But the word commencement means a starting, not a finishing. And I think sometimes we get the wrong idea about commencement exercises. We graduate, but that's not the ending. Commencement is the act of beginning. The closing of one chapter and the opening, the commencement of another. Our life here is not the end. Our life here is the commencement. It's the graduation to a new chapter, to a new life with our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the cross as being at the very center of Christianity, and it is. And yet, apart from the resurrection, the cross stands for death and not life. Yes, Jesus died for all our sins, but the Bible also said that Jesus was raised again for our justification. Amen. Do you believe that Jesus is alive today? Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
If Jesus is not alive today, then I see no hope for our world. Our hopes, our dreams, our faith are in vain. Let the Democrats and the Republicans and independents talk all they want to. They don't have the answers. None of them do. Christ has the answer. And Christ is alive. And because he is alive, that makes all the difference in the world to you and me. In his resurrection, evil has been defeated, death has lost its sting, love has conquered hate, God the Father has accepted the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and because of this, all creation can burst forth in song. Amen. Because Christ is alive and because he is my Savior, I can face death with confidence. As we take that next step, may we be aware of God's continual presence in the ever-living Jesus Christ. As we look at the world today and we see what is happening, scientists are saying that mankind faces the possibility of destruction. Economists are saying that the world trade market is on the verge of collapse. Iran, the most evil nation on earth, is about to get the most powerful weapon on earth. And with it, their plans are to punish Israel again. Tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, drought, wars, earthquakes, terrorists. This world is facing some dire predictions and an uncertain future. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us that if we believe in him, if we are surrendered to him, if we are following him, we need not panic. Amen. We need not wring our hands and ask, what in the world am I going to do? It is true that we are concerned and burdened. And it is certain that we will pray to God, but we do not cry out in terror as others do. In a world that is going to pieces, we as the children of God can still have hope and peace and joy. Even as we contemplate death. Why? Because we can face death with the full confidence that we shall enter immediately into the presence of Jesus Christ. Like Brother John R. Rice told that young thug that rushed up with a gun and asked him to give him all of his money. Dr. Rice said, son, you can't scare me with death. With heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. And it took the guy by such surprise, he just turned and ran off. Everybody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ can have peace that passes understanding in these difficult days. Amen. They can have hope. They can have joy. And then just to think that one day, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? That day's coming, church. That day's coming. And everyone who's willing to turn from sin to the Savior, they can be born again. They can have that new heart, that new spirit that we talked about this morning when Wendy was baptized. She said, Pastor, I believe I have that now. I've got a new heart. I've got a new spirit. The Bible says if we'll receive the Lord, if we'll ask Him, He'll give us a new heart and a new spirit. And I believe He'll, along with that new heart and new spirit, there'll be a peace that you can't explain. There'll be a comfort that the world will marvel at. Why aren't you falling to pieces? Why are you not going down and getting on antidepressants and drugs and all of this stuff? Well, I don't have to take that stuff because I'm following one who's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen. And our eyes are upon Him. If you're not saved tonight, if you'll pray and ask the Lord Jesus to save you as a sinner, you're sorry for your sins and you want Jesus Christ to save you and be your Lord, if you want to follow Him and obey Him and live for Him, if you will ask Him to save you on those conditions, I promise you He will. All you've got to do is ask Him. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. You've got to ask. Ask the Lord Jesus. Put your trust in Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. And do it today. Do it today. I can't guarantee you that you'll get home tonight. Brother Duane Harmon went to the ball game. Saw Wake Forest play, and I think his team won the game last night. But I couldn't promise Brother Harmon he'd get home last night safely, at least not his earthly home. And I can't promise you that either, because I don't have the crystal ball. I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. And those who have a crystal ball don't know either, by the way. God's got the answer. Even the weather forecast, with all their technology and their instrumentation, their years and years and years and years of training and scientific know-how, they still miss it. They still miss it. I think the Lord just fixes things up to where He just lets them know He's still in control. But we don't, any of us, have a promise of tomorrow. Except that if we die between now and then, we're going home to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful prospect. Go to sleep here and wake up in glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. The world can't offer you anything like that. All the world can offer you is pain and turmoil and anxiety and frustration. But Jesus can give you rest and peace. Amen. As you look to Him. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank You tonight for the hope we have in Thee. And I thank You, Lord, that we know that this world is not our home and death is not the end. Thank You for meeting with us tonight and for Your Holy Spirit who comforts our hearts. Now, Lord, as we bring this service to a close, I pray if there's here one here tonight that's not saved, that they'll come and open their hearts unto You and be saved. And then, Lord, those that are here, I pray that we might remember that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Help us to be about our Father's business. Oh God, Thank you.